Once the move to the farm at Shmadruti had been accomplished, Billy decided to take Samjay's suggestion that he form a group around him that could help him with his work. They could help him with his contact notes and other books he was writing, and possibly public speaking. Billy approached some of his followers who were most anxious to help out with the work, and a group was formed. They called themselves the Free Interest in Gemeinschaft für Grenz- und Geisteswissenschaften and Ufology e Studien, a rather long German phrase which means Free Community of Interest in Border and Spiritual Science and Ufology. If you don't speak German, this is difficult to learn, so to most of the world the group has become known as the FIGU. There were 25 members in the original group, 15 of whom took up residence at the farm where Billy and Popeye had just moved. In honor of the special purpose of this new home they would all share, they decided to name the farm the Vasemjay's Silver Star Center. The FIGU members then began to take part in helping out around the Star Center, or Center as they called it, and took on special duties to help Billy with his writing. Some of the FIGU members helped edit his books, while others answered letters from around the world, and some took day jobs in town to help out with expenses. All in all, life started to become easier for Billy, and the Samjay's Silver Star Center was becoming well known around the world, and off. As the contacts continued and his pictures were shown in magazines and newspapers around the world, people everywhere became interested in the Swiss farmer who was in touch with the star people. His contacts continued for almost 3 years and produced hundreds of beautiful pictures, metal samples, biological samples, crystals, and stones from other planets. He was even allowed to take over 30 minutes of movie film of the beam ships in flight, which was converted to videotape for the world to see. Here, at last, was the kind of proof of extraterrestrial contact that people were looking for. After 115 meetings, the Pleiadians did finally end the contacts on Thursday, October 19, 1978, because they no longer served their interest, but the wave of excitement and intrigue was spreading around the world. Even though the contacts had ended for Billy, they were just starting for the people of Earth. During the final months of the contacts, an investigative team from America led by Colonel Wendell Stevens began to publish the results of their findings. In a wonderful and informative book called UFO, Contact from the Pleiades, an investigative report, written by Colonel Stevens, he summarized over 10 months of intensive investigative work that included analysis of landing tracks and photos, testimony of witnesses, detailed study of each contact site where Billy had taken his photos, and hundreds of hours of conversation covering the information about these beings from the Pleiades. It was a significant piece of work that captured the excitement and enthusiasm that surrounded Earth's most important contact with human life from another world in modern times. Other members of the investigative team, Lee and Bush Elders, combined their investigative findings with the beautiful, clear pictures taken by Billy and created an informative and stimulating photo journal called UFO, Contact from the Pleiades. This very professional book stirred the emotions and provided deep insights into the thinking of these off-world visitors. I purchased the books and began to study them with great interest. The investigative report by Wendell Stevens was fascinating and captured my attention for weeks, but I was strangely drawn to the photos of the Pleiadian beamships in the photo journal and couldn't stop staring at them. "This book is important," I said to myself. I just knew it. As I slowly turned the pages, I became more and more certain that this book held some important truths about life from another world. I became obsessed with the book, and for days I could think of nothing else. The implications were very serious, indeed. Here, at last, could be proof of the existence of life on other worlds. And if this was true, then just think what we could learn. I had read every word in the book several times, especially the part that said Mia had the opportunity to have physical contacts with these visitors. They had taken him with them in their ships on many occasions for the specific purpose of educating him on a variety of subjects about life, the universe, religion, history, and science. The plebeians even allowed him to ask questions put together by himself and a group of friends from the FIGU, who also seemed to be involved in the contacts. The book answered some of my questions, but it didn't go into very much detail. I was hungry for more, and found myself calling directory assistants in Arizona to find the publisher, find the printer, find someone. I had to know more. There was the ring of truth in this book that touched something deep inside of me. I was sure that someone out there was making an effort to get in touch with us. It took just a few calls to reach the elders, who were located in a small town in Arizona. They had just returned from several months in Switzerland investigating this case. They were very helpful and answered a lot of my questions, offering some new insights into the experiences of bulimia that were not in their book. My phone bill was pretty high for a while because I kept calling and asking more questions. It turned out that Billy had more than 115 meetings with these visitors from the Pleiades. He had compiled several books out of thousands of pages of notes taken during his many meetings with them. He was publishing his notes in a set of books called the Contact Notes, but the problem was that the books were all written in German and no English translation had been started yet, so I was cut off from the information. The investigators told me they had put Billy's photos through many different kinds of analysis and could find no evidence of a hoax of any kind. They had investigated other witnesses who had seen the ships, some of whom had also taken photos of the ships. They even had been to the sites where the photos were taken and reconstructed the photo scene for computer comparison. Small models of the beam ships were made and taken to the original contact sites where Billy took pictures with the same camera for comparison with his own photos. The shots of the models were then analyzed by computer and photographic experts who were able to detect the models in every case. Billy Meier was indeed taking pictures of some unknown type of craft that appeared to be from another world. Billy had given them metal samples for analysis that he had received from the Pleiadians, which was representative of the type of material that their ships were made of. These metal samples had been turned over to a scientist at IBM named Marcel Vogel, who proclaimed he could identify most of the ingredients of the metal, but not the manufacturing process. It was beyond our technology at the moment and clearly not of this earth, because the metal would have to have been made in some sort of vacuum process. It seems the investigators were almost losing their own objectivity, and they were having trouble finding any reason to doubt Billy's claims. He truly seemed to be having contacts with human visitors from another world. Hardly a day went by during the next couple of years that Billy Meier's experiences were not on my mind. I seemed to have awakened old thoughts and dreams from somewhere deep inside of me that wouldn't go away. I kept my UFO contact from the Pleiades photo journal out on the coffee table for guests to see. The book's cover was a beautiful shot of one of the flying beam ships just hovering over a grassy knoll with some logs nearby. The shot was so captivating that anyone seeing it couldn't resist opening the book and asking a few questions. I just had to talk about this with other people. I soon discovered that many people had the same kinds of questions about life that I had, and maybe here within the pages of this book some of the questions could be answered. But one book was not enough. I wanted to talk to Billy, read his notes, and learn more. I had traveled through China, most of the East, Europe, Egypt, Japan, and had made 3 trips to the Vatican City, putting together pieces of our humanity. My quest had led me down a lot of trails that always came to the same conclusion: we just don't know very much about life and how we fit into the workings of the universe. There was a different theory everywhere you went, all of them based on some truth, but usually summarized with a lot of guesswork that brought me no closer to the answers that I was looking for. We were still confined to this planet with nothing but our own past experiences to guide us. History had left us on our own to create several thousand years of beliefs, religions, and cults, which always seemed to lead to war and bloodshed rather than enlightenment. I really had to learn more about this. It was time to go to Switzerland, time to visit the Samjay's Silver Star Center and meet Billy. I finally made arrangements to visit Billy at his home in Switzerland. His letters said it would be okay for me to stay for the summer and learn all I could. His contacts had stopped and the crowds had died down, so it was a really good time to go. I had written to him and explained how I was very interested in the information from his contact notes that he had published in German, which I couldn't read, and would like to continue my education about his experiences. I had learned enough to frequently give public speeches and lectures about what little I knew about his experiences. But more importantly, I needed to know more for myself. My need to personally grow and understand myself better was driving me to Switzerland and to the home of Billy Mia. Since I owned my own business, I put all of my work on hold, packed my bags, and made arrangements to leave for Switzerland and the little rural area called Schmidruti. This was very exciting, and I felt sure that this was going to be a real time of enlightenment. Actually, I really had no idea of the immense amount of information that was waiting for me. The summer turned out to be a life-changing experience. The history of man during my stay at the Samjay's Silver Star Center, my home was a small van parked behind the house with just enough room for myself and a very poor translation of Billy's contact notes in English. Someone had tried to translate them from German, but whoever it was did not speak English very well. The translation was word for word, as if someone had simply used a dictionary to look up all of the words without regard for grammar or sentence structure. This made the contact notes very hard to read, so I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what they said. The little van I was staying in was only a short walk from the main house and afforded me a little privacy, so I had a place to contemplate all that I was learning. I spent several hours each day going over the contact notes and then spent some time working around the farm and helping out since there was always some work to do, painting the garage or fixing a fence. My nights were normally filled with occupying some FIGU members' time with lots of questions, or reading and thinking. Usually in the afternoon I would spend some time with Billy, if he was up to it. He had a couch on the front porch where he liked to sit and enjoy the beautiful scenery that surrounded him. Just in front of the house he had built a small aviary that contained a few birds that would hop from branch to branch, chirping continuously as if they were very busy doing something. It was kind of hypnotic and tranquil to watch them playfully fly around the cage. Often I would sit there with him feeling the serenity of nature and soaking up the warm summer of Switzerland. I was learning a great deal from Billy and the other FIGU members who lived at the center. I had been reading my rather poor English version of Billy's contact notes that he had made during his meetings with Samjays, and I was trying to figure out the chronology of Earth history. Unfortunately, the notes were hard to read, with fragments of history scattered throughout the 1,800 pages. In hopes that Billy had a more cohesive understanding of all of this data, I asked him to fill in some blanks for me, and I finally got a better picture of what had happened here on Earth during the past several hundred thousand years. The history of man. One of man's greatest mysteries is his origin. Where do we come from, and why are we here on Earth? The history of our current civilization has been recorded fairly well, so we have a pretty good idea of what has happened the past 6,000 years or so, at least as far as major events such as wars and religious occurrences. But if you wanted to get into a discussion about any possible life existing here before that time, you would be hard-pressed to find any tangible materials to back up your argument. In order to put together the pieces of our past, we have the writings of the Bible, which are widely accepted by many. We also have the Sanskrit scrolls, a collection of writings that date back to around 1200 BC and contain the religious wisdom of the East. We also have the highly regarded Mayan calendar, a prophetic work that has accurately portrayed the future of man from 2000 years ago up to a time in the future around the year 2050. And, of course, there are the Dead Sea Scrolls, a collection of ancient manuscripts discovered in 1947 in a series of caves on the west bank of the Dead Sea in the area of Jordan. These scrolls are biblical religious texts written in Hebrew and Aramaic around 200 BC. The Pleiadians regard the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Mayan calendar, and the ancient Sanskrit scrolls as the most accurate representation of our past because they have not been changed or altered over the centuries. They say the Bible has been tampered with on too many occasions by power and religious groups and is no longer accurate. All of these great historical documents give us small glimpses into our immediate history, but none of them can give us much of a clue about any previous civilizations that may have existed here during the past millions of years. It is generally considered that our civilization is about 6,000 to 8,100 years old, depending on who you talk to. The Pleiadians tell us that the Earth is several billion years old and the universe is trillions of years old, certainly enough time for many civilizations to have come and gone. Of course, you will get many disagreements from scientists about how old, big, or long anything is because we simply do not have the technology to understand it all. Most of history is compiled from old records or some form of scientific dating scheme, such as carbon dating. But how could we tell if beings from other worlds have ever set foot here and had an effect on our development? Since the Earth has been able to support human life for at least a billion years, it's quite possible that there could have been many different civilizations that have come and gone. If the planet had changed orbit, rolled over on its axis, or met with natural disasters of different types, then any traces of these past societies may be under the ocean or buried miles under the ground. It is interesting that every now and then someone comes up with some unexplainable object or event, like a glass bottle buried in a tomb in Mexico that should be over 10,000 years old, or a mechanical device found in the ocean that obviously was made by some form of intelligence, but is unrecognizable. How about the report from an American university that summarized that the Earth must have been hit by a major asteroid or meteorite of some type around 10,000 years ago with a force sufficient enough to change the planet's axis, flood all of northern Africa, including Egypt, and ruin the atmosphere for years? Those were the conclusions of a team of scientists from studies of debris found on the floor of the Mediterranean Ocean. The Pleiadians are a very old race with information about many different civilizations going back 22 million years. Since our forefathers were also their forefathers, they have on file every language that has been spoken on Earth for thousands of years, as well as information of the history of man. Now that the knowledge of the Pleiadians is available to us, we can walk through our past and for the first time learn the fascinating truth about the development of man on Earth. 22 million B.C. Ancient Lyra. To begin with, in the constellation of Lyra we find the origin of man dating back as far as Pleiadian history extends. Here on these ancient planets are the ancestors of the oldest known form of human life of which they are aware. 22 million years ago ancient Lyran travelers first came into our system and built a colony. Since these were among the first attempts at space travel for them, it took a long time to reach Earth. When they arrived, they recorded the existence of very primitive human beings here. They found that Earth was a planet where human life had naturally developed over the course of evolution, but it was currently in a very primitive state. The Earth humans were a brown-skinned race who barely possessed any powers of reasoning or intellect and were of no concern to the celestial visitors. Over the course of the next few thousand years, many expeditions were made to Earth, resulting in a variety of colonies being formed for short periods of time. The ancient Lyrans were titans, standing 20 to 30 feet tall, from a planet much greater in size than ours. They were white-skinned, with blonde hair, usually had blue eyes, and had a lifespan of around 2,000 years. They were a warlike race that had not only developed technically, but were quite advanced in the use of spiritual power. They moved their warlike forces around the galaxy and used their great power to take control of many thousands of lesser developed races. Over the years, the Lyran bloodline was mixed with other civilizations, creating many different colors and races which spread throughout the galaxy. Just as their race was at its highest peak of advancement, a huge, destructive comet that became known as the Destroyer Comet found its way into the Lyran family of planets, and two-thirds of their race were killed. Along with the destruction, their technology was wiped out, and they were unable to continue to exercise control over the great empire they had built. The great Lyran Empire had degenerated back to one planet with no technology to speak of. They were barely able to survive and were faced with the task of rebuilding a civilization which once dominated thousands of other worlds. After thousands of years, the Lyrans restored their society and again became a dominant force in the galaxy. Pleiadian history documents that the Lyrans went through a series of civilizations over a period of several millions of years. It was their pattern to rise to power, begin to fight among themselves, and then degenerate into a primitive society and start all over again. On some occasions their wars were so brutal that it took millions of years for them to recover from the primitive state left by the destruction. 387,000 B.C. The first settlement on Earth. It wasn't until 387,000 BC that the Lyrans once again had an effect on Earth. Another war had ravaged Lyra, and many of those on the losing side had fled for safety. They traveled through the cosmos and came to Earth, as a place of sanctuary. It was peaceful here. The local humans were primitive and offered no resistance to their high technology. It was decided they would stay and build a colony. Back home in Lyra, it was discovered that a large group had fled to Earth, and ships were dispatched to come after them. Upon arriving at Earth, they were disgusted and appalled to find the conditions that prevailed here. The local Earth humans are being used as slaves and were being mistreated badly. Many were being used in experiments where they were being mated with animals, while others are being disfigured, raped, or maimed. The colony was an example of the darkest side of man. Living in degeneration and filth, it was decided to leave the colony on Earth, take away all of their technology, including their spaceships, and leave the 144,207 Lyran soldiers to their own fate on Earth. This colony died out after several thousand years, and the spirits of the Lyran soldiers that were left behind became part of the spirit world of Earth. The 144,207 degenerate Lyran soldiers would now be incarnating here along with the original inhabitants. The effect they would have on Earth would forever steer it away from a normal evolution. Lyran history continued to repeat itself for thousands of years until, after restoring themselves once again to a high level of technology, they built flight machines with beam drives and once again moved out into the cosmos. Their leaders were great scientists with an understanding of spiritual power, so once again they began to conquer other races. Their leaders soon realized the unlimited powers of the spiritual forces and developed them until they became masters of these great forces, becoming known as an Ishwish, I-H-W-H, meaning God or King of Wisdom. The great power of their spirit allowed them to live for thousands of years, and they ruled over countless civilizations. The Ishwish leaders ruled with cruel power, and eventually the public started a civil uprising. The war lasted for almost four centuries, causing the death of more than 60% of the population and nearly destroying the three worlds of the Lyra system. It seemed that no one in the Lyra systems would escape this slaughter that raged 230,000 years ago. 228,000 BC The flight from Lyra to the Pleiades. An Ishwish named Asal could see the end coming and fled from the wars with 360,000 people in 183 great spaceships, capable of transporting over 1,000 passengers each, and 250 small space reconnaissance ships that could carry a crew of three. This group of Lyrans wandered through space for many years until they came across a star system with 254 still young, blue suns. There were already a few colonized planets with primitive people living there, but they were no threat to the great Lyran technology. They landed and built their new society on three different planets around a star they called Tegeta. Life was hard and difficult, and it took 300 years or their civilization to grow and adapt to their new environment. Millions of Lyrans fled the Great Wars and settled in Orion, Hyades in the Pleiades. After the new civilization developed, Asal commanded that they start to explore and conquer other worlds again, just as they had done in Lyra. The powerful beam drive ships sped out into open space and once main established a reign of tyranny over planets of less developed beings and brought them under their control. It was during this time that they came into the system known as the Hesperides. A young, underdeveloped form of human life was there and was quickly conquered and fell under Asal's rulership. The Lirans once again were exercising their power over others and beginning to force their rule throughout the galaxy. It seems that the forces of greed and power were inbred well into the Lirans, considering that peace seemed to escape them time after time. There had been millions of years of bloodshed and wars, and still they had not learned to get along peacefully with other races. The ancient Lirians split off to Orion, Hyades, and the Pleiades and started new colonies. The planets of the Pleiades soon flourished and spread out to Earth, Mars, Hesperides, and Milona. 226,000 BC. The time of Pleiades. 70 years of conquering had diminished Asal's lust for power, and his life of bloodthirsty rule came to an end as the father of the Pleiades passed away. Control of the new race of the Pleiades fell to his daughter Pleiades, an Ishrish, the female form of an Ishwish, who, like her father, had the blood of a warrior. Eager to build their great society even farther, he ordered the exploration ships to again seek out new worlds that could fall under her rule. As the ships moved out into space once again to explore, they came across the trail of the Destroyer Comet, which so many years ago had been the destructive force that had ended the Liran Empire. Contained within the tail of the Great Comet, they discovered debris from the planets of ancient Lyra. It was decided to follow the comet for a while and study its path of violence. This was the destructive force that had changed the history of Lyra and caused death on thousands of worlds, and now it had brought the warriors from the Pleiades into a small sun system and the home of a little planet called Earth. 225,000 BC. Earth is discovered again. To their surprise, they discovered a small group of uncivilized people living there. Some were brown-skinned and could be traced to the origin of life on Earth. Others were of mixed color, but most were white-skinned and had a Liran spirit form. The Pleiadians had stumbled onto a colony founded by their ancient Liran ancestors who had degenerated into a primitive society. Awed by their discovery of human life and common ancestry, it was decided to colonize three different planets in the system and continue the family chain. News of their discovery was sent back to the home planets and apparently sparked an interest in Pleiades, for she ordered a great migration to be undertaken. Within a very short time, thousands of travelers from Pleiades came and created societies on Earth, Mars, and Milona. Milona was a planet which existed beyond the orbit of Mars at that time. It was only a few short years before a small war raged on Earth, and many of the scientists left to return to the Pleiades, leaving the three planets to grow on their own. Pleiades was unhappy with this and did not want her new colonies to be destroyed, so she dispatched a fleet to stop the war, and things calmed down again. 196,000 BC, war breaks out on Earth. In the home planets, the reign of Pleiades came to an end, and the people of the Pleiades fell into dark times as they ruined their great society in war. The three planets of Earth, Mars, and Milona then existed without leadership for more than 30,000 years, which was a remarkably long time for Lirans to get along with each other. It seems that some measure of evolution was finally happening on Earth. After returning their own civilization to a high level of advancement, the scientists of the Pleiades occasionally looked in on Earth and watched as technology they had also developed to a high state. Unfortunately, the men of Earth started to turn against each other. As the wars broke out on Earth, the leaders of the home planets decided once again to involve themselves and sent a fleet to put a stop to it. Earth had degenerated into such an unruly society that it was decided to evacuate the planet and return their people to their home planets. The colonies on the planets of Milona and Mars had remained peaceful. They had taken no part in the war that raged on Earth, so were left alone by the forces that came from the home planets. The fighting spirit of Lyra did not lay dormant too long, though, for it only took 40 years before the people of Milona fell into war and destroyed the entire planet in a great explosion. The huge blast pushed Mars out of its orbit, causing complete destruction of all life there, and moved the planet into a new orbit. All that remains of ancient Milona is the debris of their planet, which is now called the asteroid belt. Once again the Lirin fighting spirit had caused the destruction of two planets and brought death to millions. 116,000 B.C. Earth is on its own. Over the next 80,000 years many attempts were made at small colonizations, but none lasted.